We are continuing our series that we kicked off a couple weeks ago, simply entitled Finding God. And for most of us in here, well, I'd say for all of us in here, at some point in our life, we have searched for God. And for most of us, odds are you've probably found him. But there are times in our lives that even though we can say as believers that we have found God, there are those moments in our lives where often we misplace him. And it's kind of like some of the things that we misplace in our day-to-day lives, things that should always be there. We should always know where they are. We still at times lose them. For me, I don't know if you guys do this, as far as ladies, men, you might do this, but I have what I call the three-item pat-down, right? Like, I got to make sure I have my keys, my phone, my wallet, right? So every time I stand up, I'm hitting all three of my pockets. And if I feel a pocket's empty, then I know I've lost something. Well, now, thanks to what my wonderful optometrist, Dr. Harper, calls old man eyes, I now have glasses, right? And so, like, because of my old man eyes, now I have a fourth thing that I have to worry about. So at times I find myself, all right, keys, phone, wallet, all right, it's all there. And then my glasses sometimes will do this number, right? And I'm like, where are my glasses? And I'm looking everywhere for them, and I'm panicking. I'm like, I can't find them anywhere. And then I eventually, I'm like, oh, there they are. And I slide them down, right? Do you ever do that, or is it just I'm just a moron? Maybe it's just me, but it's like there's things that we need, like I need my phone, my keys, my wallet, my glasses, just to operate on a day-to-day basis. That's like the four main food items I need, right? If I have that, I can get through. But there's times when even though I need them, I misplace them. And I think we do the same thing with God. Like, there's times in our lives we know we have a relationship with God. We know what God means to us. We know that we can't even get through the day without God. But we misplace him. And we misplace him because, I don't know, a whole variety of reasons. Life gets messy. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, the very first week. Sometimes life just gets messy. And you know how in your own house, how maybe something gets messy, your table gets messy, dining room table, kitchen bar, whatever it may be, and you're looking for something and you know it's there, it's just hidden under the mess. Sometimes life just gets messy, doesn't it? And sometimes that mess is brought on by ourselves. It's things that we bring into our lives that kind of causes our life to get full of white noise, full of clutter, and all of a sudden God's been misplaced. Or sometimes life just happens and it just comes at us and we can't help it. All of a sudden, next thing we know, we're living in this messy life. We didn't do anything to bring it. It just kind of happened and God's lost in that mess. And then sometimes we misplace God just because life is going well. Quentin did an amazing job last week. If you guys have not had a chance to go back and watch the video, if you weren't here, he knocked it out of the park. It was perfect. Because often in our life, during times of prosperity, when times are good, right? When we don't necessarily have that immediately wake up, I need God kind of feeling because life is messy or life is falling apart or things are happening. When life is good, we often kind of misplace God because he's not just right there in front of us because we don't have what we feel is that daily need. And then today we're going to be talking about another time that we misplace God. That we misplace God sometimes when life just doesn't make sense. We like for life to make sense. We like for things to make sense. We've all sat there and watched a movie and given 2 hours of our life, and at the end of that movie, we leave and we're like, what did I just watch, right? It was a movie just didn't make any sense at all, like the ending, like what in the world just happened? Or we watch a TV show or we read a book or there's something that happens and we're like, that makes no sense at all. Like, what were they even thinking? That happens to us in life sometimes. We're going through life, everything is great, then all of a sudden something happens. And it just doesn't make sense. Why is this happening right now? Why did this have to happen? Why is life like this? And the reason it bothers us so bad is because we want things to make sense. We are designed to find meaning in life. And when we don't find meaning, when something doesn't make sense, it throws us all just in a tailspin. Because we want things to make sense. We want life to have meaning. When something in our life happens unexpectedly, when our world gets turned upside down, especially when it violates our view of reality, and life doesn't make sense, what do? We look for someone to blame. Well, it's their fault that this doesn't make sense. It's his fault that it doesn't make sense. It's her fault that life doesn't make sense right now. But if we don't have a there, he or she to blame, who gets blamed for life not making sense? The creator of life, God. When life doesn't make sense to us, who do we blame? We blame God. God, why did I have to lose my job? God, why did this person have to get sick? God, why did this person have to die? God, why am I struggling with this addiction? God, why am I struggling with depression and anxiety? God, why? And when life doesn't make sense, we blame God. Because we want life to make sense. We want to find meaning in everything that happens in life. If you have your Bible, you can turn me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 tells a story that if we were backed up a few months, it would make a lot more sense than while we were reading it. It's a passage that's probably read in 99% of churches the week before Easter. We know it as Palm Sunday. But there was a lot about Jesus' life that didn't make sense. A lot of things he said, a lot of things he did. I mean, it was just kind of, that was his 3-year ministry, was this all about turning things upside down on their heads. It was about saying, oh, you think it's this way, but it's really this way. And this was one of the final times in his life where it literally left the disciples scratching their heads. And I love this passage because there's actually a part in the passage where it says, and you're going to see in a second, the disciples are like, what is going on? This doesn't make any sense at all. So if you have your Bibles, hear me, John chapter 12, verse 12. It says, the next day, a great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written. Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Now the first part of verse 16. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. The disciples were scared to death to go into Jerusalem. Jesus had been teaching against the authority, against the religious leaders, against everything. Everything that they had said, Jesus had already turned upside down. He was doing miracles on the Sabbath. He was breaking what was their man-made laws. He was doing all of these things. And he had a lot of people that hated him. And so immediately when he said, all right, guys, we're rolling into Jerusalem, they were scared to death. Because they're like, if we go into Jerusalem, we're all going to die. And then all of a sudden they approach the gate to Jerusalem, and it's not an angry mob. Instead, it is hundreds, if not thousands, of people cheering him on. Yes, Jesus is here. And they're throwing down palm branches and they're treating him like a king. The disciples didn't understand why this was happening, but I'm sure they were fine with it, right? I mean, this is one of those cases where you expect worst case scenario and the total opposite happens. They were expecting a violent mob ready to kill them, and they were greeted with people who were happy to see them. They were cheering them on. So they're approaching and they're feeling a lot more confident, a lot better about their chances here in Jerusalem. Like, Jesus, this is great. They're cheering you on like a king. You are a king. Man, let's go get a horse. You'll get on this horse and you'll just come riding in there like this king, like this warrior. Jesus says, I got a better idea. Go get me a donkey. What? And he gets on this donkey, and they're celebrating him as king, and he goes walking down the street or riding down the street on a little young donkey. And the disciples had to be like, what in the world is happening right now? Because when things don't make sense, it drives us insane. Disciples were confused, just like we're confused a lot in our life. When those moments don't match up with what we think they should look like or they should be, we get scared, we get angry, we get hesitant, we doubt. Because, God, it just doesn't make sense. Why are you asking me to do this? Why am I going through this? Life just doesn't make sense. I can't find meaning in what you want me to do. But here's the thing, and this is the way I want us to look at this morning. We all live our lives, every single one of us, no matter how young you are or how old you are, as long as you're breathing on this earth, every single one of us live our lives in the middle of a sentence. I want you to understand that. Every single one of us, no matter who we are, no matter if you're a believer, not a believer, you're sold out, you do everything you're supposed to as far as daily disciplines with God, or he's far from you, or you're far from him, or whatever it may be, it doesn't change the fact that every single one of us on this earth live our lives in the middle of a sentence. And this is why understanding this is important. Because in every sentence of our lives, two stories are being told. And because these two stories are being told within this sentence, we want to understand the sentence. We want to understand what's happening in our lives at that exact moment. But here's the thing. If we're living in the middle of the sentence, we don't know what the beginning of that sentence meant, and we sure don't know what the end of that sentence is going to say, do we? So what do? If we're living life in the middle of a sentence, we manufacture what the meaning is at the beginning of the sentence, and we create a narrative, often a false narrative, of what that ending of that sentence is going to be. Is that totally confusing? Let me explain it this way. I'm going to give you a situation. You tell me, or even not, if you've ever been in a situation. Someone calls you up. Maybe it's a boss. They call you up and they say, hey, at the end of the day, I need you to come see me in my office. Well, that's the middle of the sentence, right? Well, what was the beginning of that sentence? Why do they want to see me? What did I do? What did I do wrong? They have to see me for some kind of reason. And our mind starts going through all of these things. Why would they want to see me? And it's probably never good, right? It's always thinking about all the bad things that you did. Well, I said this to this person. I meant to take this. I shouldn't have stole those pack of pens. You know, whatever it was. You know, we're thinking about all the things. Why do they want to see me in their office at the end of work today? And then once we've kind of created what we believe is the first of the sentence, and we know the middle is that they want to see us, what do we do with the ending? Well, this is what's going to happen. I'm getting fired today. They're going to blame me for so-and-so, for something I did, and I didn't do that. That was so-and-so, and now they want to see me, and I'm the one that's going to get fired, and they're not going to fire me. I will sue them, you know, and we get ourselves all worked up. And then all of a sudden, we go into their office at 5:01, and we're all amped up and, you know, ready to defend ourselves. We're angry because we've been accused of something that we haven't been accused of, and we're about to get fired, and we shouldn't be fired. And we go in there, and they're like, oh, you forgot to sign this piece of paper. Can you sign this for me? Oh, yeah. And we sign it, and we go on with life. Right? Do you see where I'm tracking now? Like, we live in the middle of moments. We live in the middle of the sentence. And when we don't understand the beginning or we don't understand the end, we create all of this stuff, and it's always bad, isn't it? We get ourselves so worked up. It's always, always bad. Let me give us another example. Let me give you two words. And I just want in your mind just to think about these two words as we work through this. The two words I want you to think of right now, and this is the middle of a sentence, the lion. That's it. The lion, like Lion King in the Jungle, right? The lion. That's the middle of your sentence. In your mind, what is the beginning and the end of that sentence? If I just said the lion, and that's the middle, what's the beginning and the end? Because for a lot of us, I'm going to tell you the beginning and the end of what we think about. Our sentence would be, run, the lion is loose. Right? That's the way that we could create a sentence that says that. And what does that sentence do then for us? It scares us. Right? We're terrified. We like immediately created a beginning and an end to those two words, the lion. Run, the lion is loose. The lion is going to get me. And for a lot of us, when we immediately jump into that fear, it's because we view God as that lion. And we view God as someone who wants to devour us. Someone who's there to punish us. Someone who's there who's just waiting for us to mess up so that he can just zap us and punish us and whatever it is that we need to have done to us. So then everything that happens bad in our life is God's fault because he is the lion. And that's all I know is that God is the lion. And I know I need to run from a lion. And I know a lion is loose, and that's why I'm running. But what if that's not the sentence? Now, for others, we may say, no, it's not run, the lion is loose. Maybe it's I am the lion, comma, fear nothing. Do you see how you can have the exact same middle, But the way that we see this world and see God and our relationship with God, it totally changes how we feel. Run, the lion is loose, brings fear and anxiety. I am the lion, fear nothing, brings peace and protection, doesn't it? There's no fear in that. There's no anxiety in that. There's no worry in that. It's the exact same middle, the lion. But what we want to do is we want to create meaning and we want to make sense out of life. And so if you're looking at life as a tragedy, if you're looking at all the bad things that have happened, you will always create a beginning and an end to your sentence that makes God the bad guy and makes life meaningless. But if we see God as who he is, the lion, and even though bad things happen to us, and it all happens to us, people get sick, people get hurt, jobs get lost, relationships fall apart, things happen. We live in a broken world. But if we see God as who he is, then it changes that sentence completely. Why would I run if I trust God as the lion? I understand that I am the lion. The lion's not loose. The lion is there to protect me. So I shouldn't fear anything. And in fact, it may even get a bit more complex than that. In the scriptures, we see things like, and the lion and the lamb shall lay down together when he brings peace. Or, he is both the lion and the lamb, who is your defender and protector. You see, every sentence we have, every sentence of our life tells two stories. One is the story that we're writing about God, and the other is the story that God is writing about us. We just happen to live in the middle. John 12:16. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. These are not guys that he had just met. These are not strangers that just wandered into his flock 2 minutes before this happened. These are guys that had been with him for 3 years, 24/7, right? Everything he had done, they had witnessed. Everything, every miracle, every teaching, everything. And they still did not understand. So why don't we give ourselves a little bit of grace when we don't understand? At first, his disciples did not understand. Only after, and I want you to underline those two words, only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Only after. See, our problem with living in the middle of the sentence and life not making sense is this. We always search for meaning in life. It's just how we're wired. But the problem is, instead of searching for the meaning of life, we should be bringing meaning to life. Life is not going to make sense. It just isn't. There's nothing that you can do, there's nothing that I can do that's ever going to make this world make sense. I don't understand why two kids can get sick, both parents can pray that their kids get healed, one dies and one's healed 100%. I can't explain that. You will never be able to understand that on this earth. You just won't. So instead of banging your head against the spiritual wall, trying to crack every code that God has given us, instead of trying to find meaning in life, why don't we start bringing meaning to life? I don't understand it. I'm never going to understand it. But while I'm here, while I'm in the midst of this, I can bring meaning to this person's life. I can't explain to this parent why their child had to die. But I can be there with them to hold their hand and to give them a shoulder to cry on and to walk with them as they find healing on this earth, as much as they can. Instead of searching all the time for a world that's never going to make sense, what if we just did something radical and just brought meaning to life? Just tried to be there for one another. Like, you know what? I'm never going to get it. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that I have to stop living. It doesn't mean that God's a bully. It doesn't mean that I have to live a life of fear, anxiety, or depression. No, it just means no one's going to get it ever. No one ever has. So instead of like spending my whole life trying to figure out the meaning, why don't I just bring meaning to people's lives? Why don't I just be there for them? Because when we search for meaning in life, when we search for things to make our lives make sense, I tell you what we do. We lean heavily on our career. Well, if I can just get my career going, then life will make more sense. And I can find meaning in life. And then our career doesn't do it. Well, if I become an expert in this field, then everyone will look up to me and everybody will come to me for answers, and then maybe I can find meaning. But we're an expert and it didn't really change anything, right? Well, if I just had some success, or I just had some power, or I just had some fame or prestige or a certain amount of money or a certain level of friends or whatever it may be, then all of a sudden, then my life would have meaning. And we have all of those things, a great job, a great bank account, a lot of friends, all this kind of stuff, and our life still doesn't have meaning. It's because they're trying to make sense of a world that doesn't make sense. And instead of trying to make our job bring us meaning, why don't we bring meaning to our job? Instead of having relationships that we hope that will bring meaning to our lives, why don't we bring meaning to those relationships? Instead of having money and a checking account, a bank account that we hope will fulfill us and bring meaning to our lives, why don't we bring meaning to that by being able to go out and give to those who need it? Our place on this earth is not to search and to find meaning in life. It's to find the places in life that need meaning and to bring meaning to them through what God has given us in our life. That God can take the pain and the wreckage and the disappointment, everything in our lives that we thought was a period in that sentence, God can turn into a comma. And say, it doesn't have to end this way. This isn't the end of your sentence. This isn't even the end of the next few words. Like, you live life in the middle of a sentence. There is still more sentences to be written. There's a chapter to be written. There's a novel to be written. Every good story has a plot twist. Your life has a plot twist. Mine has a plot twist. And it's about bringing meaning to those plot twists. Understanding that God is not done writing your story. That whatever your story is, wherever you're at, whether you're at a peak or a valley, a high or a low, life or death, wherever you're at, God is not done with our story, is he? We're just in the middle. We're just in the middle of the sentence. And instead of blaming God or trying to figure out what the meaning at the beginning of that sentence meant or trying to figure out the end, what if we just lived in the middle and said, you know what, God, I'm not going to understand the meaning, so I'm just going to bring meaning to the middle. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. I'm going to love those who you've called me to love. I'm just going to be there. I'm going to accept grace. I'm going to bring hope. And I'm going to share mercy. God, that's what I need to do. Because we will drive ourselves crazy trying to figure it all out. The disciples could not figure it out. They were with him. They were right there, and they didn't understand. It was only after. I guarantee you there's all of us have had those moments in our lives where we drove ourselves crazy in a moment of panic or just pain or wreckage or whatever it may be. And it was only after we could look back and see that God was there. It was only after that we could say, thank you, God, for not giving me that job at that company. Thank you, God, that you didn't move my family. Thank you, God, that you got me out of that abusive relationship and put me with somebody who loves me and takes care of me. Only after can we see that. So while we're stuck here in the middle of a sentence, We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in anxiety. We don't have to live in anger or frustration or any of those things. We just trust God and we just say, you know what, God? I know you've got this. I don't understand how the beginning of the sentence makes sense. I don't understand where I'm at right now, and I don't even know where you're going. But I know you are the author and finisher of all things. And I know where I put a period, you put a comma. And I know where I create a sentence, you erase it and write something even better. And that there's still paragraphs, chapters, and novels to be written in my life. And this one sentence right here in the middle will not define, cannot define my story. All we can do is wait until the only after. And while we're waiting, bring meaning to life instead of searching for meaning in life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I just pray that whatever sentence we're in, whatever the middle looks like right now, as confused as we are, as hurt as we are, as disappointed as we may be, God, my prayer this morning is that we'll sincerely look at this middle of the sentence. That we'll be honest with ourselves. Have we written a beginning that you didn't write? Have we written an ending that you're not finished with yet? God, for any of us, if we're in the middle of this sentence, give us the strength and the honesty to say, I don't know what just happened. I don't even know where I'm going. But I trust the lion does. That right now in the middle, Lord, I trust you. That we stop searching for things in this life to bring meaning and to make sense. Instead, God, we make our life about bringing meaning to people's lives. To those less fortunate. To the people in our own backyard that are hurting. People in hospitals, people who've lost loved ones, kids that are in orphanages all around the world. We can't make sense of why those things are happening. All we can do is bring meaning and hope to those that are there. God, thank you for writing the beginning and the end so we don't have to. Thank you for taking care of us, Lord, when we can't take care of ourselves. Thank you for the commas where we put a period. And thank you for allowing us to live in the middle. Knowing that a new day, new hope, new mercies are in the very next word. Lord, we pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.